Members of Iraq's governing council failed to meet yesterday's deadline for the approval of an interim constitution. A senior U.S. official has told wire services that work continues on the document, but that a signing ceremony is unlikely until later this week. Completing the temporary constitution is seen as a vital step on the road to the planned transfer of authority from the United States to Iraqis on June 30th. Noah Feldman is an assistant professor of law at New York University. He was a legal advisor to the occupation authority in Iraq, and he's in the studio. Welcome back, Noah.
Pleasure to be here.
If they really do finish work on the Constitution this week, and then will missing the deadline, I don't know, just be a footnote in the process toward trying to transfer sovereignty to the Iraqis?
There's some indication that failing to reach an agreement suggests that everyone understands that it's more important to get this right than to get it fast. And I think that's probably, on the whole, a good thing. It's the U.S. that invented this deadline, and the Governing Council initially agreed to it. And those are the two parties that are negotiating now. So if they decide not to meet it, it's not the end of the world.
The role of Islam in a future Iraqi government has been a source of tension during these talks. Can you briefly explain what's been going on?
Well, there's almost no doubt that the document will say that Islam is the official religion of the country. But that's not enough from the perspective of some Iraqis, especially those who are closely affiliated with the Islamic parties. They would like Islam also to be described as the principal source of legislation. And they would furthermore like possibly to have some kind of a provision that says that no law passed by the transitional government shall contradict the principles of Islam. Now, that leaves a lot of room for interpretation. What are the principles of Islam? It's hard to get two Muslims to agree on that point. Others who are more secularist are strongly holding the line and saying Islam should just be a source of legislation, and they don't want any provisions saying that nothing can contradict the principles of Islam. And the United States, for its perspective, really has two conflicting objectives. On the one hand, we want to make a deal because the administration very much wants to meet this deadline, which we've now not exactly met, but they want it soon. And alternatively, the U.S. doesn't want too much Islam, as it were, in the Constitution because of the possible consequences for equality and women's rights.
And what about the Kurds? What have been their concerns during these constitutional negotiations?
The Kurds started from a position of strength because north of the no-fly zone, what was once the no-fly zone, they've basically been running their own country for the last decade. They don't want to give that up, and they want assurances in this interim constitution that the status quo with respect to their power will continue as long as possible. From the perspective of the rest of the country, nobody really wants to lock in Kurdish autonomy permanently until there's a full national convention to discuss the constitution.
Now, about the Sunni Arabs and other major ethnic and religious groups in Iraq, are there any issues that particularly motivated them?
It's very worrisome because there's the leadership of Sunni Arabs that's on this council does not represent the ordinary Sunni Arab, especially the ones in the so-called Sunni Triangle, because they're really just hand-picked leaders and they're not people who are affiliated with the insurgents, obviously enough. And that means that no one has really spoken up for the distinctive interests of the Sunnis in this negotiation process at all. That's one reason that the insurgency is continuing. It's not the only reason. But in order to end the insurgency, we need to combine military efforts with a political effort to bring in the Sunnis. And for that, you need a leadership that actually represents them on the ground. In the long run, the Kurdish issue, the Islamist issue, these are important issues. But unless we solve the question of Sunni representation, those are the ones that are going to seem like footnotes.
What's the ratification process? Do all the members of the governing council, for example, have to approve the interim document?
You know, it's completely unspecified. The November 15th agreement between the U.S. and the Governing Council, which again was just between us and the people that we picked, didn't say how to ratify this document. All it says is an agreement shall be reached. So in theory, you could do it by something less than a unanimous vote. But if you did, then you're signaling to the country that this document might not have lasting power.
If the document is ratified, how long is the Constitution expected to last after the power is handed over from the U.S. to the Iraqis?
Not one day longer than it takes to put into place a constitution that's ratified by the full people after being drafted by an elected body. So probably we're talking about sometime in the end of 2005. So it'll probably be about an 18-month document.
And does L. Paul Bremer, the U.S. civilian administrator, have a role in the approval of the constitution?
Well, technically speaking, according to that November 15th agreement I mentioned, he has to sign it in order for it to take effect. But there's no real reason that that should be true, if you really think about it. Because it's not his constitution. It's the constitution of the interim government of Iraq.
Noah Feldman is an assistant professor of law at New York University and a former legal advisor to the occupation authority in Iraq. His book, After Jihad, America and the Struggle for Islamic Democracy, is published by Farrar, Straus & Giroux. Noah, thanks for coming in again.
Thanks for having me.